There's still time for you to actually grab a gift card and make your way to CMC this afternoon just to bless those families.
Bless is a term that I think can be Christian easy. And what I mean by that is we come together in the church and we throw it around a lot. When you hear one of us up here say bless, what we're praying really is the encounter of the living God on you when we say that. And it's a significant word. It's a real word. And God does amazing things. And so, sidetrack. Sorry about that. I'm not preaching yet. Actually, I'm going to leave the rest for now. And the other thing that I'm going to draw your attention to is when you walked through the door today, you got a benevolent envelope. Can everybody hold up their benevolent envelope? Everybody got that? Okay. Now, sometimes we skim over and say, hey, this is the way that we bless those in our church and in our community. Guess what? It really actually is one of those ways. And we are right now functioning below, I believe we're at a deficit in our benevolent. And part of that is because we gave to families in need over Christmas time hampers. And that was just a way of showing God's love. And that was amazing. Now there's this new need. Now let me ask you a question. How many of us here woke up this morning in our own bed, in our own home? Most of us, thank God, right? That is actually a blessing. There is this thing that's happened within our community, over on the shores in a community called Sea Watch. And there's a whole bunch of layers to it, and I don't want to get into any of the layers, but there are a number of families this morning who actually didn't wake up in their homes. There are a number of families who woke up in somebody else's home where they're paying rent monthly and at the same time having to pay for their mortgage. Now, I'm not sure how many of us are having to pay rent as well as a mortgage, make a mortgage payment. Not many of us. Many of us are strapped just to make our own mortgage payments. Now, what we want to do as a church is bless. Man, it's crazy how many times. I didn't plan to talk about blessing, but it's important that I did because that's what we want to do. We want to breathe in a practical way the presence of God into some of these families. Now, the way that we want to do that is together. Okay, so everybody hold up your benevolent envelopes again. What you have in your hand is an invitation to participate. An invitation to gather around not only this need, there's a number of different needs. And so in a moment, I'm going to pray. And as I pray, I want you to pray and see how God would lead you to participate in this blessing. Remember, this is by no means guilt-driven or motivated, because that's actually not how our God works. See, our God convicts us and draws us into relationship, but He doesn't just give us a guilt trip. Was that me? Is that my mic? We're good? All right, let's pray. So, Father, we arrived this morning, and many of us here have experienced the goodness of just waking up in our own beds, waking up, going to our own kitchens. Many of us even in homes that we love and are really happy with. And there's a reality that there are those even within our community who don't have that. And Lord, we know that you care about those families just the same as you care about. Are we good? Okay. Tell me if you're going to touch it. Lord, we know that you care about those families in exactly the same way that you care about us. And so as we consider giving in this area, and as we consider also our giving just into our general fund to the ministry, which is not to keep ourselves well-fed, Lord, but to call us and drive us to mission. Lord, stir us to generosity. Lord, open our minds and our hearts and our eyes to see how generous you are and how you invite us into that. And so I just pray that over this offering. I pray that over our lives. I pray that over our finances, Lord. It's all yours. We're stewards of it. And so come, Lord, reveal yourself, move among us, do your work. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, so Guy and Jill are going to come around and collect that offering. And I'm just going to make one more mention. When the board met this last week, we were talking about how do we take that next step as far as processing and discerning with regards to CMC. And one of the things that we want to do is invite anybody who's passionate and driven and has ideas and wants to share those. We want to invite you to grab one of the elders. So if you're an elder and are here today, I see Mike is there. I'm here. We're looking for Mike Stevenson and Guy. There's Guy. Guy's actually, and Jillian is teaching Sunday school. Okay. So there's a list of our elders. They're on our website. You can talk to Kelly. Grab one of us and say, hey, we want to have you and your family over to our house for a meal, and we just want to talk. Okay. What we're going to do is have more conversation and look at within the next month or so coming to an actual firm next step. Exciting, isn't it? Good. It's good. Okay. All right, church, turn your Bibles to Mark 4. Man, it's a lot of details. Let's jump into God's Word. Now, for a number of weeks, we were on the end of Mark 3. Today, we're going to take a large bite of Mark 4 and go after verses 1 to 20. Verses 1 to 20. Here we go. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat, sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said this. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on the good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes, takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. This passage is significant because it speaks to every single one of us. And the challenge is that regardless of where you are, the best place for you to be is in good dirt. So each and every single one of us here are seeds. We're seeds. And you don't want to be on the path where you'll get eaten up. You don't want to be on the rocky soil where you won't be able to establish roots. You don't want to be in the thorns or the brambles because you won't be able to produce fruit. You want to be in the good dirt. Now here's the main idea that I want us, and I believe God wants us, to take from today. And it's this: you choose your ground by what you believe. You choose your ground by what you believe. Now, I used to read this and go, man, I feel so sorry for the people who are scattered on the path, because those people don't actually get to choose. They should have, I mean, wouldn't it be nicer if they were in the dirt? Or I feel so bad for the people on the rocky soil or in the thorns. Boy, it sure would be nice. Guess what? The choices that we make place us in the soil that we're in. What we believe places us in the dirt. The good dirt, the rocky path, the thorns, etc. Here's the idea. The farmer sows his seed. There's a path where the birds eat it up. There's rocky places. There's a thorny area. There's the good dirt. And he goes on then to say, hey, guess what? You guys who are with me, you're getting the inside scoop. You're getting actually the secret of the kingdom of God. And then he quotes this Isaiah passage. And he says this, that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. Why doesn't Jesus want people to be forgiven? Is that what he's saying? Actually, no. That's not. What he's doing is he's referencing a prophecy in the book of Isaiah. Let's open that up a little bit, okay? The secret of the kingdom of God is this. It's an open secret. Can you say that with me? Open secret on 3, 1, 2, 3. Open secret. All right. Now, picture yourself back to when you were younger. This may actually be happening to you today, regardless of your age as well, but you're younger, you look across the room and you see two kids that you wish you were a little bit like. Maybe they're the popular kids. Maybe they smell really nice. Maybe their parents dress them well, right? And all of a sudden you see one go like this. Could you hear what I said? Did it come through a little bit? I don't want to share any secrets. When you see that happen, when you saw that happen and you were younger, you're going, oh, I want to know what that is. What was that secret? What did they say? Were they talking about me? What was it? Listen, the kingdom of God isn't like that. The kingdom of God is this. Hey, will you listen to me? God loves you. He has this amazing plan for you. And it's really good. And he says the exact same thing to every single one of us. It is an open secret. Beautiful. We so love our beautiful children. This secret is so significant that it has changed the world. This secret is so significant that if we stop long enough to hear it and then apply it, there's a promise that we bear this amazing fruit. Now, what is it? It's a secret about a kingdom. What is this idea of kingdom? There's an author who shared about this idea specific to the day of Jesus, where everything around them was the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was this massive culture that just began to devour the communities, the nations that were around it. And as it devoured those nations, every time a new territory came under Roman control, the Romans would implement their ways into that community. And what they would do is to a degree, they would blend things, but they would give a lot of the goodness. They would impose these different education, arts, culture, Roman baths. They would bring their culture into this new territory that they conquered. Why did they do it that way? I mean, apart from being smart and recognizing this is a way that we draw people in, there was an idea that when Caesar, the king, when the king would come to those outside territories, he would enter in and he would be at home. That's how they moved their kingdom. And that's to a degree, so not in the way that the Romans did it with force, but the idea that we are to bring the culture of heaven into the world around us is exactly the same thing. So that God's government, his teaching, his worship, his glory, his power are all of a sudden made known and revealed around us. There's a truth that Jesus is coming back one day. We don't know the timing, we don't know when it is. But when he enters back in, don't you want him to arrive and come into your space, your church, your community, your home? Don't you want him to come into there and feel at home? See, part of Jesus' prayer was, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." See, there's a significant role in us as bringing this kingdom of heaven to be around us. And Jesus, as he's talking, he's making this secret known. He's revealing it. He's opening it. Now, with reference to the Isaiah passage, how do we find resolution there? How do we figure that one out? In a sense, what God was saying through the prophet Isaiah and then saying through Jesus is that Israel herself, Israel as a nation, had shut her eyes. Israel as a nation had closed her ears against God's pleading. God would come again and again and again and whisper that secret, "I love you. I love you. I have a good way for you." I have not just a better way, than the way that you're doing it, which is trying so hard to impress the people around you, or trying so hard to just be accepted by those people, or trying so hard to get ahead, or trying so hard to keep up with. And the examples could go on. I have the best way. And what happened was, as Israel closed her eyes, as Israel shut her ears, she, in a sense, pronounced self-judgment on herself. Now, here's the thing. For you and I, it's exactly the same thing. When we hear that whisper of God in our ear that says, hey, I've got not just a better way, but the best way. And we do this. And then God maybe comes to the other ear and says, hey, I'm still here. I love you. I'm pursuing you. I've got the best way. And then we do this. And in some cases, we do this. La, 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 la. What we're doing is pronouncing self-judgment on ourselves. We are isolating, we are ourselves back, we are removing ourselves from the open secret that God has the best way for us. And that's really what this whole parable is about. This open secret. Here's the idea, church. You choose your ground by what you believe. You choose your ground by what you believe. Now, the good news is, as long as you're alive, everybody here alive? Can I get a shout? Hey, there's two people alive. There's two people alive. Remember that song we just sang? No place I would rather be. Oh, one day that is not just going to be a desire, it's going to be a truth. You're going to walk in these doors, this church, and you are going to belt it out so that the lights start falling off. We're getting there, right? Church? As long as you're alive, you still can choose your ground. As long as you're alive, you can still choose your ground. You may feel as though you were thrown on the path and all that's happening is Satan is coming and picking at you and picking at you and eating you and devouring you. You may feel that way, but here's the truth. As long as you're alive, you have opportunity to choose Jesus, to embrace the open secret, which is the kingdom of God. The first thing Jesus said when he went into this parable was, listen, listen, hear it. Satan comes and he is doing his very, very best to pick away and to take away the word that's sown in you. Now, there's different ways that we can understand that word. Jesus is known as the Word. We also understand that the Holy Spirit, when we receive Jesus, brings us to life. We have the Spirit of Jesus in us. But wherever you are, Satan only has access to the places you allow him to have access to. What do I mean by that? I'm glad you asked. Last week we have Dave Curry here who came and spoke to us about technology, about pornography, about all of those things. Now we understand, even outside of the church in our culture, it was interesting that this sparked conversations with people around who don't go to church and who would not identify as Christian. We have this understanding of what a good, healthy relationship is. And fairly common, even around some younger guys that I was speaking with this last week, there's an understanding that pornography, engaging in pornography, watching pornography, habitual masturbation that comes along with pornography, that's outside of what's God's best for us. Now here's the thing. If I know that that's outside of God's best for us, but I go home and I have some time alone and I go online to a porn site, what I've just done is opened a door. In my spirit, I've opened a door and I've said, I reject what God's best is. And I've said, here you go. Here's an access point for you, Satan. Satan only has access to the points that we allow. Okay, now that's a graphic one. How about this one? Any of us been angry this week? Any of us had something happen that was outside of our control that we didn't like? I've been angry a few times, I'll be honest. Now, there's a reality that we're all on this journey. What's really important is, what do you do with that anger? What do you do with it? So if in my mind and my spirit, I start to go, I hate that person. He said that I was this and I did that. He's a liar. I want to hurt him. That's where it starts, doesn't it? And then if we allow it to sit there, it festers and it moves and it comes to this thick, oozy, boiling sludge. And what we've done is we know that Jesus is telling us, hey, the best way is this. When somebody hurts you, forgive them. This is for you, and this is for them. Forgive them. Because what you've done when you forgive is you've cut access. What you do when you open to that anger is you say, here you go, Satan. Come and pick away at the seed that is my soul. You choose your ground by what you believe. Okay? Satan is accountable to God. He always was. He always will be. He was accountable to God in the garden when he tricked Adam and Eve. He was accountable to God all the way through the Old Testament. But here's what happened. The open secret that is Jesus, that when he came and lived, when he died, and when he rose again, he took back the kingdom keys that Adam and Eve gave to him. Right? Do you see that? Sin was humankind saying to Satan, here you go. You have access to us. Here you go. Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, was taking the keys. Thank you very much. And restoring them. Now we still battle the enemy because he doesn't want to give up the keys. And Jesus hasn't returned yet. There is an end date, but we're in a place right now where we have authority. So when you read this and you feel like you're on the path and you feel like Satan is devouring you, take courage. Don't be afraid. Because your freedom, honestly, is as close as your belief in action. Okay, number two, rocky places without much soil, there are no roots. So here's for a person who hears it, they become so overjoyed. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord, I'm free. And they have this amazing encounter with God, this beautiful experience, largely a truthful experience. And all of a sudden, it's not easy. All of a sudden, the decision that they made comes into real life, and the habits that they've established seem more powerful than this new way, or the people that they're so desperately trying to gain approval from don't approve of their new way, and so they let go and they fall away. That's the rocks. There's no roots. Now, there are a number of different examples. One of these are those of us, and again, I've been there, who are chasing after the experience rather than chasing after the giver of the experience. Do you know what I mean? This becomes in itself a form of idolatry, a form of putting something in place of God, something that shouldn't be there. Now, here's the thing, church. We are so gifted in this area of looking around us and going, oh, yeah, that's what they're doing, and that's what they're doing, and that's what they're trying to do. Not always really great at seeing this big log that's stuck in our eyes. Here's how we resolve this one. Here's how we shift ourselves to good soil. Is number one, we seek God. We seek God in all of his fullness. Number two, we ask and we seek and we knock, but we do so open-handedly. God, I want all you have for me. God, I want your I want to walk in your fullness. Paul says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. God, I want all the full gifts. I show me how. Whatever it takes, my eyes are on you, Lord. I want it to look like this. And that can be situationally, that can be spiritually, that can be physically, that can be any of those. Keep your eyes open, receive what he is giving you. The third area is this seed. Remember, that's us. The seed is scattered into the brambles. It's scattered right into the blackberry bushes. And so it's heard. So this open secret about there's a better way, there's the best way, is heard. But what overcomes it? Worries. What overcomes it? Deceitfulness of wealth. Well, that means thinking that money is actually going to solve all your problems. If you haven't figured that out yet, it won't. Desires for other things that chokes it, that chokes the seed, that makes it unfruitful. And just out of curiosity, I looked up some of the top causes of anxiety. Here's what I came up with. Stress at work. Anybody experiencing stress at work? Stress from school. Stress in a personal relationship, such as marriage. Financial stress. That's why Jesus said that right after. Stress from an emotional trauma. Stress from a medical incident. See, as soon as we take our eyes off of Jesus, as soon as we take our eyes off of the truth of who he is, as soon as we start to become slack in his call to mission, we get choked. Now, what comes to mind is any of you who've watched MMA, which is mixed martial arts. It's this blend of all of these different fighting styles, and it's not as gentlemanly as boxing for those of you who haven't watched it. It's kind of full-out madness. It's full-out madness. And at the end of a fight, if the person isn't actually knocked out, they can be choked out. And there are a lot of us here who feel as though the world has its arm around our neck and the other hand up on the head and is pulling back and we're being choked out right now. Here's the thing. Remember, you choose the ground by what you believe. See, Jesus, he's not worried. He loves you. And he sees that you're worried and he's not happy about it, but he's not worried. And so what some of us actually need to do is we need to do this. And it's this, you tap out of the world, and all of a sudden, what does the world have to do? Anybody who follows MA, when you tap out, what? You have to open up, you have to let go. So we open up and we actually receive the fullness, that we actually step into the open secret that God's way is the right way. It's the good way. See, rather than so desperately seeking to gain approval from the world around us, what we need to do is recognize that the God who created everything around us approves of us. We need to stop thinking that these other things will satisfy our desires, when the God who created the world, who knows all about your desires, has already made a way for your desires to be satisfied. See, the obstacle for all of these areas, the path, the thorns, the rocks, is that we actually don't accept that truth. We don't actually believe it. We resist it. So you choose your ground by what you believe. See, this good dirt, Jesus called it fertile soil. There's a few pieces to it, aren't there? There's hearing this truth, that is the gospel, that God loves you, that he's made a way for you, that he has so much for you. Then there's the accepting it. And this is where the believing it, this is where the faith comes into play. See, if you hear it and don't believe it, it's actually not going to come true. What will come true is what you believe. What will come true is what you accept. If you believe that once I gain acceptance from this other person, or having this will make me happy, you're going to get to the other side of that. And because those things are lies, you're going to be empty. But if you hear it, that God loves you, that he has the best way for you, if you accept it and believe it, then what comes next is the fruit. One author talked about a man from the 1900s, his name was Smith Wigglesworth. He was involved in significant movements of God, used by God to inspire and to see lives transformed. And this author was mentioning this reality that people look back at him now and they love him. They love the messages that were written down. They love writing. They love what he did. But when he was around, not everyone liked him. He was such a man of the kingdom of heaven faith that whenever he went somewhere, he polarized. Do you see what Guy just did there? That was a perfect example. He polarized. Polarized. I'm just going to keep. No, I won't. Man, I love you. I love working with you. It's such a gift. Because that's exactly what I'm thinking in my mind, is he polarized. right? He was such a man of faith in who God was and what he was calling us to. People were either drawn to it like a moth to a light at night, or they were repelled from it like a skunk on that same night. See, there's something significant about unbelief, and that's this: it's able to meet its own expectations. See, this lack of faith that Jesus actually meant what he said, and it's applicable for us in all ways, takes no risk, and it almost always gets what we expect, which is not much. And this is exactly what Jesus was referring to when he referenced the Isaiah passage. This scripture, church, is an invitation for us into true and deep faith. To actually shift this belief from head knowledge to heart knowledge to life knowledge. See, hearing it is in our head. Accepting it is in our heart. Producing it is in our life. I say that one more time just so that we get it, because there's a three-step process here that Jesus says about the fertile soil. Hearing it is in our head. Accepting it is in our heart. Producing the fruit is in our life. Now, if we are honest with each other, every single one of us has room to shift the soil around us, don't we? My wife and I, when we, or our whole family, actually, it wasn't just my wife and I, our family, when we moved into our place, there was a spot where there were these old garden beds. And what was in the garden beds was one tie that went around it, and right under, within about an inch of where the soil was, there was a big poly sheet that had been thrown over a bunch of brambles and different native weeds. And there was no room for any of the plants to grow, so we started this process. We started this process of developing these garden beds. And what we had where we were was, honestly, there was paths, there were rocks, there were blackberry bushes. But what we slowly did is we cultivated, we built up some framework. We brought in some really good dirt, some fertile soil. And now we have this garden that produces fruit. That produces, well, vegetables, but listen. Every single one of us, are we still alive? I haven't killed anybody, have I? Good. There is invitation here for every single one of us to move the knowing God's love and that he's made a way to accepting God's love. That you are a child of the Most High God. That he doesn't just accept you into servant quarters, but he accepts you and puts this robe of royalty on every, regardless of what we look like and what we think we smell like, because when we believe in Jesus, we're clean. We smell amazing. Now, I know what's happening, and some of you is going, yeah, but you don't know me, and you don't know what I've struggled with, and. Those are either thorns or rocks or the enemy picking at you, and you need to discard those. Because Jesus looks at you and he says, I paid a price for you. I accept you. And I have a wheelbarrow of good dirt that I want to put around you. Will you take it? Can I invite you to stand? I'm just going to pray. Lord, my sense is this idea of what we believe, of the way that we accept who you are, is so significant for us. It's so significant because it allows the transformation that you've made a way for to actually take place. And so, Lord, I pray that in this moment there would be fertile ground in all of us, that you would be planting these seeds of faith that would overcome the enemy, these seeds of faith that would overcome any of the rocks, any of the thorns. And so we just invite you, Lord. We invite you to move among us and to have your way. And if you agree with that, just say, I agree, or amen, whatever you want. So, Lord, you've heard us. You've heard our hearts. Jesus, we ask, lead us, move us into that place of hearing, of accepting, of producing. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen, church. So we're going to move into ministry time right now. I'm going to invite those who are serving communion and those who are praying. If there's something here that stuck for you, if there's something that grabbed your attention, church, I want to invite you to move forward. To move forward and participate in communion. And if God leads, to move forward and have our prayer teams pray for you. God wants to bring release. He wants to bring freedom. If you're feeling stuck and stuck and stuck, let us pray for you. Jesus did it all the time, and he released people and saw people freed up. Don't hold back. Go ahead. Yeah, come on forward. I'm going to leave you with this idea. You choose the ground that you believe in. Here's the four ideas, okay? If you feel like Satan's picking at you, resist Satan or run from temptation. Run from sexual temptation. Okay, number two, ask, seek, and knock, but do it with open hands. Number three is put God's kingdom first. Not your kingdom, not the other kingdoms. Put God's kingdom first. And the last is hear, accept, produce. I send you from here. With the presence of Jesus, I bless you. That is, I place God's presence on you so that you can go out of here in his hope, in his life, in his mercy, in his truth. Bless you, church. Have an amazing week.